I'd like to discuss, first of all, I'd like to begin with a little bit of a technical discussion of some of the karbonos of the Chag. Start with some serious kachim, some of the karbonos of the Chag, but use that as a springboard to be able to discuss what I think is a very central and important theme, and it's a prism through which you can really see a lot of what's going on in the Pesach Seder and in the Haggadah. So let's begin with some technical karbonos issues first. So every yontiv, there are always three karbonos. When we say yontiv, I mean the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. When you come up to Yerushalayim for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so there's always three mitzvos, three karbonos, that is a chova on a person to bring. Person brings an olas re'iyah, so it's an ola, it's completely burnt, he doesn't eat it at all. Olas re'iyah for coming up to Yerushalayim. It's carbon number one. Carbon number two, shalmei simcha, carbon shlomim, called a shlomim because it brings peace. Why does it bring peace? Because everybody gets a piece. So there's peace. Nobody's fighting. The kohen, some of it goes to the Beis Amik, to the Mizbeach. Some of it goes to the Kohanim. And some of it goes to the Bailim. So that's the Shalmei Simcha. The Shalmei Simcha is the way that we are ideally mekayim the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. We know that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, a yontif to have Simchas Yontif. How does a person have Simchas Yontif? So the ideal way of Simchas Yontif is to bring a karbon, and then to eat the meat of the karbon. That's the ideal way of Simchas Yontif, Shalmei Simcha. Now there's a machlokas nowadays, now that we don't have karbonos, how is a person mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha Yontif? So I think if you ask the average person, what will he say? Ain Simcha Ella b'basar v'yayim. Ain Simcha Ella b'basar v'yayim. But the truth is, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara just says yayim. And the Rambam is the one. The Rambam is the one who threw in basar. It's a little bit of a question because Tosfos says that basar is really only if it's the basar of the carbon that's simcha. Why would stam chulin basar be how we're making the mitzvah of simcha? So mikra, I think that's why a lot of people don't realize. They think, okay, meat I for sure have to have. Wine, well, we'll see. Maybe I'll have wine, maybe I won't have wine. But wine is really the ikker kiyum of the mitzvah of simchas yontif. That's for men. The Gemara says that women, they get their simcha through other things. They get simcha through getting new clothing for the yontif. Children getting snacks or treats. So, but there is a modern day manifestation or kiyum of the mitzvah of simcha. But again, Bizman Beis Hamikdash was through the carbon, which was known as the Shalmei Simcha. There's a third carbon that was a chova. These are all carbons you have to bring. And the third carbon was the Shalmei Chagiga. Shalmei Chagiga was another shlamim. This is also a carbon that was eaten. This is the pasuk says about this that everybody gives kfi matnas yado. There's no minimum in the oraisa. In the rabbanon, they set a minimum for how big the carbon has to be. But that's called the Shalmei Chagiga, carbon Chagiga, carbon of the Chag. And the truth is, the whole reason why we say Chag Sameach, you know, nowadays it's common that on Hanukkah, Purim, people say Chag Sameach, but it's not technically correct. Really, it's only the Shalosh Regalim that you say Chag Sameach. You know, in modern Hebrew, Chag means a holiday. But according to the Torah, Chag is reserved for Chazal. It's reserved for when there's a carbon Chagiga being brought. Right. They say Chag Sameach right on all these days, correct. So the Shalmei Chagiga was specifically Shlomim, called the Chagiga, to be Chogeg, to celebrate the Shalosh Regalim. Those are all Chiyuvim on all three of the Shalosh Regalim. Okay, good? Clear? Olas Re'iyah, Shalmei Simcha, for the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, and Shalmei Chagiga. However, Pesach had an additional carbon known as the, and a lot of people don't know about it, and it's justified not to know about it, because it actually doesn't appear in the Torah explicitly. And this is the carbon that's known as the Chagiga, Chagigas Arba Osra, the Chagiga of the 14th. Now, all the first three karbanos that we mentioned, you bring them on Pesach as well, but when do you bring them on Pesach? You bring them on the Yontif itself. What's the first day of Yontif? Tesvav Nisan, first day of Pesach. The Shalmei, the Chagigas Yudalim, the Chagigas Arba Osra, was a special carbon Chagiga that was brought on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. We know that that's when the carbon Pesach was brought. Carbon Pesach is a very unique carbon. because it was brought on Erev Pesach, shechted on Erev Pesach, you then were not able to eat it until the night. It says in the Pasuk that it has to be eaten at night. Normally, with every other carbon, once you shecht it, you can eat it. In general, let's say for a shlomim, we talked about shlomim. A shlomim, you shecht it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you can eat it the rest of that day, the whole night, the next day, and then you're done. You get a day, a night, a day. That first day, though, is cut off because it only starts from once you've shechted the animal. But there's no other carbon that you shechted in the day, and you can't eat it right away. You have to wait till the night, except for the Karban Pesach. So along with the Karban Pesach, they also brought another carbon called the Chagigas Arba Asar. It almost suggests that there's that you're celebrating the 14th. What was the purpose of this Chagigas Arba Asar? The purpose of the Chagigas Arba Asar was that when the Karban Pesach would be eaten, it would be eaten al hasova. It would be eaten on a full stomach. Why does the Karban Pesach need to be eaten on a full stomach? To be shown him, meaning you have to, the Karban Pesach is really like a dessert for your main meal. It's not the main meal. The Karban Pesach was eaten at the end. Why is it eaten at the end? So it's a machlokas in the Rishonim. The Rashbam says that the reason you have to eat it al hasova is because that's the ultimate sign of cheiros. The ultimate sign of cheiros or of malchus. Right? We all know if you go to a fancy restaurant and you order a dessert, you're not going to get this big piece of cake that you're going to eat. You're going to get like this tiny little piece of dessert. They're going to spritz like a few lines with some like colored syrup, and they'll have like some leaves or something. And you're like, this is what I paid 50 shekel for? You know, for like, if you ever like want someone's birthday and you order a dessert cake, everybody gets like, you know, one spoonful. Because you're not going to buy more than one dessert. I mean, they're so expensive. Everyone takes one bite. So there's a certain element that there's a certain malchustik element to Karban Pesach when you eat a little bit as dessert after you're already full. That's what the Rashbam writes. This is in Psachim on Kuf Yutes. Tosfos on the next page on Kuf Chaf, Tosfos gives a different reason. It's based on a different halacha of Karban Pesach. And that is that one of the halachos of Karban Pesach is that you're not allowed to break a bone while you're eating it. So now, if you shechted it during the day, you haven't eaten, and now it's nighttime, and you're digging into your meal, so there's a good chance you're going to break a bone. So the halacha is first eat another meal, fill yourself up, and then when they bring you the Karban Pesach, you know, you're already moving a little slower, and they've already opened up one belt hole on the belt, you've opened up one hole already. So you'll eat the Karban Pesach, you'll eat it more benachas, you won't break a bone. So whatever the reason is, whether it's the Rashbam's reason, Tosfos' reason, the halacha by Karban Pesach is it's eaten al hasova. Now you have to really calibrate this carefully. And everyone should be aware of this for the Afikoman, because the Afikoman shares dinim with the Karban Pesach, that when you eat, if you eat too much, so then when you get to the Karban Pesach, it's going to be an achila gasa. If you're so stuffed and you have to force it in, that's not considered an achila and halacha. So you're not going to be yotzeh. And if you eat too little, so then it's not really going to be considered al hasova. So it's a real challenge of the Pesach Seder, especially when we have the Karban Pesach, that a person eats the right amount that it's al hasova, but not too much that it becomes achila gasa. Now, the Pasuk says, what's the source for this Chagigas Arba Asar? The Pasuk says, V'zovachto Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha Tzom U'Bakar. Let me read that Pasuk again. V'zovachto Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha Tzom U'Bakar. Someone asked me a question. What's Bakar doing in the Pasuk? You're going to bring the Karban Pesach. What's Karban Pesach brought from? Sheep, lamb, a goat, not a cow. So what does the Pasuk mean? V'zovachta Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha Tzon U'Bakar. So from there, Chazal learned that Bakar is referring to the Chagigas Arba Asar. It's referring to this carbon that we're talking about. It's hinted to in the Pasuk. That's the Makar that we bring a Chagigas Arba Asar. Now, the Chagigas Arba Asar, this special carbon, it's not a chov. Let's say your chabura for eating the Karban Pesach is just three of us, and we're good eaters, so we'll be able to finish the Karban Pesach on our own. We'll be able to eat from the Karban Pesach, fill ourselves up, and we don't need anything else to fill us up first. Let's say we're not big eaters. So between us, the Karban Pesach, you know, by the time we get to the Karban Pesach, we're not going to need other meat to fill ourselves up. So there isn't a chiyuv. There isn't a chiyuv to bring a Chagigas Arba Asar. Chagigas Arba Asar is an optional carbon that one brings if he's going to need it in order to have a achila al hasova. So the Chazal tell us that if you have a lot of people and you have a small Korban Pesach, then you're going to need a Chagigas HaBasar. If you have few people and a big animal for Korban Pesach, then you probably won't need a Chagigas HaBasar. You're going to have to see how it works out with the different ta'amim that we mentioned about Al HaSova, but this is the din of a Chagigas HaBasar. We actually, this will be a little pshat, not a vort, but just a pshat, understanding the Haggadah, we say at the end of Magid, when we're about to make the bracha on the second coast, so we say a special bracha, we say, Kena Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Yagi'enu L'moadim U'L'Rigalim Acherim, Haboyim L'Koseinu L'Shalom, Smechim B'Vin Yani Recha, V'Sosam V'Avod Asacha, V'Nochal Sham Mina, you remember the line? Mina Zvachim U'Mina Psochim. Mina Zvachim U'Mina Psochim. So what are we saying? We're saying Hashem should bring us to the Beis HaMikdash. We should be zochet to eat from the Zvachim and the Psachim. What's the Zvachim referring to? The Karbonos and the Karbon Pesach. The truth is that if you look in the Mishnah has an alternate girsa that has the order opposite. That we should be zochet to come to the Beis HaMikdash and eat min ha-Psachim u min ha-Zvachim. That's not what we say. When we say the Bracha, we say min ha-Zvachim u min ha-Psachim. And Tosfos on the page is sensitive to this question. Which one comes first? Min ha-Psachim u min ha-Zvachim or min ha-Zvachim u min ha-Psachim? So Tosfos says Zvachim comes first. Why? Because it's a reference to the Chagigas Arba'asa. Which one do you eat first? First you eat the Chagigas Arba'asa. You fill yourself up and then you eat the Karban Pesach because the Karban Pesach is eaten al ha-Sofa. And that's what we're referring to in this bracha when we say that Hashem should make us, we should be zochet to eat min ha-zvachim u min ha-psachim. We should be zochet to eat the chagigas arba asar and then to eat the Karban Pesach. I'll tell you one other piece of just in the analysis here of the Kodshim. We know that we have a practice at the end of the Seder that after the meal before we bench, what do we eat? We eat the afikomen. We eat the afikomen. What's the reason for eating the afikomen? And I'm talking about the karbanos, but I'm trying to stick in lots of other things about the chag. So what's the din of afikomen? Why do we have an afikomen? Three shitas in the Rishonim. Shita number one, the Rashbam. Rashbam says, you know why we eat the Karban Pesach? Because we want to remember the matzah that's eaten with the Karban Pesach when you eat the Karban Pesach. The pasuk says, al matzos umarorim yochalu. You should eat the Karban Pesach with matzah and with marah. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Do you eat them one after the other? Or do you eat them all together? Whose famous shita was it that you eat them all together? Hillel, right? That's why we do korech at the Seder, to remember the shita of Hillel. So there's a machlokas. Do you eat them one after the other or eat them together? But the Karban Pesach was always eaten with matzah. So now, when do you eat the Karban Pesach? At the end of the meal, when you're full. So at the end of our meal, we want to commemorate what they did. Now, can we eat the Karban Pesach? No, we don't have a Karban Pesach. So at least we eat the matzah. We eat the matzah to remember the matzah that was eaten back then with the Karban Pesach. That's shita number one. Shita number two is the Rosh. The Rosh says, the reason we're eating matzah, afikomen, is to remember the Karban Pesach that we used to eat. Meaning the matzah is in place of the Karban Pesach. And if you see a guy eating afikomen, and you go over to him and you say, what are you eating? Why are you eating some matzah right now? So he'll tell you, if he's a lamdan, he'll tell you, oh, well, if you hold like the Rashbam, I'm eating matzah to commemorate the matzah they ate back then. Why don't you do something to commemorate the Karban Pesach? Because I can't. We don't have a Karban Pesach. But if you ask him, he'll say to you, but if I'm holding like the Rosh, you know why I'm eating matzah? I know it looks like I'm eating matzah, but I'm really eating the Karban Pesach. I took matzah in place of the Karban Pesach, but the matzah is there to commemorate the Karban Pesach. There is a third shita. Those are the two main shitas. There's a third shita in the Ritva. The Ritva says the reason why we eat matzah at the end of the meal is nothing, no zecher. No zecher to matzah, no zecher to Karban Pesach. It's that when we leave the Seder, we end with the taste of matzah in our mouth. Tam of the matzah. Tam of the mitzvah, tam of the matzah. What would be a nafkamina between these three shitas? How much do you have to eat? If you're commemorating the achilas matzah or the achilas maror of the achilas karim pesach, how much do you think you have to eat? Kazayas. That's what we pass in. The afikomen, you have to eat a kazayas. But if it's the Ritzvah's pshat, that it's just to get the tam of the matzah, so then why would you need a kazayas? Just eat a little bit, just enough to get the tam of matzah in your mouth. What was that? Also, maybe a question whether you can eat afterwards, but also maybe be a nafkamina. Excellent. Lemaisa, we paskin one kazayas. But listen to this. We paskin one kazayas. But apparently there was an old minog Ashkenaz to eat two kazayasim for the afikomen. We've already eaten a lot of matzah at that point. Right? For the afikomen to eat two kazayasim. Why two kazayasim? So the Maril, great German posek, the Maril says, you know why two kazayasim? Chavivus ha-mitzvah. We love the mitzvah so much, we eat two kazayasim instead of one. Okay, it's an interesting answer because, you know, Sukkos, why don't we say Sukkos, you have to eat two kazayasim because the chavivus of Sukkos. You know, whenever we have a mitzvah of achila that comes once a year, it should be chaviv. What was that?
Already,
so right. So if it's chavivus, what's pshat chavivus? So the Bach says, you know why we're eating two kazayasim? Because we want to cover both shitas, Rashbam and the Rosh. So we eat one kazayas, zecher for the matzah that was eaten with the Karban Pesach, and another kazayas, zecher to the Karban Pesach, to cover both shitas. So one kazayas for each. Because when you eat the Karban Pesach with the matzah, that's your ikar achilas matzah. Back then, that you for sure had to have a shear. So if we're commemorating, we'll have a shear also. So we have one shear for the matzah, one shear for the Karban Pesach. But get this. The Chai Odom says, you know why there's two kazayasim? One kazayas keneged the Karban Pesach, and one kazayas keneged the Chagigas Arba Asa. That's why you have two kazayasim for Afikomen. One is to commemorate the Chagigas Arba Asa, and one is to commemorate the Karban Pesach. What was that? So that would be the first kazayas. So the first kazayas you use will be connected. The chagigas arbas are excellent. Correct. Okay. So now that we've been yotzei the serious Talmud Torah of going through the karbonos. So let's try to see if we can connect to this on a little bit of a interesting machshava level. Many of us are aware that the egg that we put on the seder plate. What's the reason for that egg? What's the reason for the egg? So the Ramah says it's avelus. It's avelus for the right. That's the sheetus of the Ramah. It is avelus for the Chorban Habayis. Why do we need to have an egg? You know, we know an egg is the ma'achal of avelin. An avel eats an egg. For the Sudah Mafsekes for Tisha B'Av, we eat an egg. An egg, because if it's round, it's the achila of an oven. Cycle of life, the circle of life. What's the avelus? Why do we need avelus? Karban Pesach night. Agav should know that the first night, the day of the week that the first night of Pesach falls out on is the same night of the week that Tisha B'Av always falls out on, which is very nice. But still, what's the yesod? Why do we want avelus on the night of Pesach? Okay, good. And Chorban Habayis. Oh, so I'll take it even further. You're 100% correct. There are two holidays on our calendar that we end the holiday singing L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. What are the two holidays that we end the holiday saying L'shana Haba? Yom Kippur and Pesach. And the Seder, we end the Seder singing L'shana Haba. Why? The Brisker Rav says, you know why? Because these are the two holidays where the lack of Beis HaMikdash is the most bolet. It changes the whole commemoration of the whole nature of the day. Yom Kippur is really all about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And today, Dur Yosom, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So we have to get by with the second-rate Yom Kippur. And that's why we sing L'shana Haba, that next year we should be zochet to the real Yom Kippur. And the same thing with Karban Pesach. Because the real Seder is done around the Karban Pesach. That's the centerpiece of the whole Seder. Even one of the manashtanas in the Mishnah is about the Karban Pesach. We take it out. Because, you know, how come on all other nights we eat meat which is boiled or fried or cooked? And tonight it's only tzliyesh. Why is Karban Pesach unique? We take that out of the manashtan. Because we don't have the Karban Pesach. Without the Karban Pesach, our whole Seder is different. That's why we say L'shana Haba. And maybe that's the reason why we have an egg, according to the Ramah, out of Avelus. This is not just Stam Avelus of the Chorban, because, you know, we always try to, you know, to always want to remember the Chorban Avais. But there's something unique about Pesach. Pesach is lacking because we don't have the egg. Because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Ramah's pshat in the egg.
But it's like a kippur. The Shamba sounds the same. Usually, at the Hobah Zoyah, avoid the Shamba Kippur, you don't have it in kippur.
Right. So
that's why it's the Hobah Shamba, but that's the main thing of the day, the korban. Pesach, the main act of the day is the korban Pesach.
Right.
And kippur is the main act of the day, is the korban.
100%. And that's, avoida, and, that would, and that's why we end by saying, Shana Avoida, we should be Zohar next year to do it the real way. We know that the way we did it this year is not the real way. Okay. This is the pshat of the Ramah of why we have an egg on the Seder plate. However, the Gra has a different pshat. The Gra says, you know why we have an egg? It's not sad. It's not avelus. It's the opposite. This is our tachlif right now for the Karban Chagiga. Which Karban Chagiga? Not the Karban Chagiga that you bring on every Yontif. Not what the Chag Sameach Karban Chagiga, but the unique Chagigas Arba Asar that we spent all that time talking about. That Chagigas Arba Asar, we want to remember that Karban. We have the egg there in order to remember the Karban. There are those who daf to boil the egg and they don't singe it. Because as opposed to Karban Pesach, which needs to be tzli, the egg is boiled because the meat of the Chagigas Arba Asar, you can eat in any way. So they specifically don't grill it in order to show that this is the Chagigas Arba Asar. So what's the point I'd like to bring out? What I'd like to bring out is that the egg, according to the Ramah, is a very sad expression. It's an expression of Avelus. But according to the Gra, it's not per se a sad event. It's there to remember the beauty, the grandeur, the greatness of the Karban. And we find the same dichotomy in the Kittel. Imagine most of us, many of us have a minug to wear a kittel at the Seder. Why do you wear a kittel at the Seder? Why a kittel? So the Taz writes, because it's Big Day Mason. It's Avelus. Why do we need Big Day Mason at the Seder? He says, because you're going to be drinking wine. It's a happy time. There's a lot of laughter. We got to keep you in check. So therefore, we put on Big Day Mason in order the ways that everybody realizes that they have to also be a little bit serious. The Netziv, in his Akdamat Tez Haggadah, does not like that Taz. And he says, that's not why we're wearing the kittel. We're not wearing it to remember Big Day Mason. We're wearing it because it's like the Karbanos, it's like the clothing of the Kohen. It's white, it's pure, it reminds us of the grandeur of the Karbanos. Right, it's something that's supposed to remind us of grandeur. So what's the kittel? Is the kittel supposed to be sad? Is it supposed to remind us of suffering, of avelus? Or is the kittel there in order to remind us of the grandeur of the avod of the Beis HaMikdash? Is the egg there as avelus over the Chorban? Or is the egg there to remember the grandeur of the Karban Chagiga, Chagiga Sarba Asar? You know where this dichotomy, where this inner contradiction, two opposing themes, has its greatest expression? In the matzah. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Why do we eat matzah? So we know the famous drasha. Lechem oni. We say, holach ma'anya. What's the English translation? Everybody remembers as a kid. If you ever went on a Seder where they said the Haggadah in English. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Right? Holach ma'anya. What's holach ma'anya? What's the matzah symbolizing? It's a poor man's bread. It's lechem oni. It's what the slaves eat. That's why we break it. Because a poor person doesn't get a full roll. He has the scraps. It's lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. Really? But the pasuk says, lo hispik b'tzeikam, that we ate it when we were going out of Mitzrayim also. Because b'chipazon, we were so rushed out of there. It was such a surge of inspiration, of bracha, that we didn't even have time to wait for the bread to rise. So, Mr. Ramban asks this question. Is the matzah symbolic of the suffering of the slave, of the poor man? Or is the matzah the bread of Geula? Is it the bread of people who are getting rushed out so quickly, they can't even wait to make their bread rise? That's the big question. In fact, many of the menachos in the Beis HaMikdash, the bread was matzah. So this is the big question. Is matzah the bread of affliction, or is matzah the bread of Geula? What does the matzah symbolize? Right, right. It's of suffering, of affliction, of inuit.
Right,
there's 2 days to the Gemara. Right. Let us own in a lot of Dvarim Harbay. The Anisa, the Amarta, Lashon Anisa. Right, so it's 2 days. One is that it's Lechemoni. One is bread. Right. Another drasha. Very nice. The truth is, do you know where this question is really asked? Again, our question that we're asking is the celebration of the kittel, the egg, the matzah, is it reflective of suffering, of pain, of servitude? Or is it a celebration of geula, of grandeur, of Beis HaMikdash? This is really the question of the Manishtana. You always thought Manishtana was how many questions? 4 questions? It's 1 question. Manishtana is 1 question. Let's just go through the Manishtana very quickly. What's the first question? The first question is, hey, normally we get so many different types of bread. We get focaccia, we get garlic knots, we get, English muffins. And tonight, all we get is this matzah. That's question number 1. What's question number 2? Normally we get vegetables, cucumbers and carrots. Tonight, all we're getting is maror, meaning the first 2 questions are all, why all the suffering? Why all the pain? How come I have to eat this bad-tasting, thin bread that doesn't taste so good, it hasn't risen? How come I have to eat this bitter maror? And what's question 3? How come it is on every other night, we only dip once? Tonight, 2 dips. Whoa, why all of this bounty? Why all of this bracha? And what's question number 4? No, every night we have to sit very straight at the table. Tonight we get to relax. We're like a bunch of kings. Meaning, what is the question of Manishtana? The child turns to his father and he says, I don't understand the Seder. There's mixed messages here. Are we suffering or are we celebrating Malchus? Are we slaves or are we kings? Is it Lechem Oni or is it the Lechem of Geula? It's really 1 question. Mixed messages, Dad. I don't understand what's going on here. The truth is, another one of the mitzvos hayom is halal. I don't know what the minhag here is. Do we do halal after? Tonight? No, after. Oh, I thought you said tonight. Oh, yes, after Maariv. I was going to say, wow, this is a real finish. Wow. I was already thinking, where else can I catch it on Bar Maariv? Okay, so at night, you do halal, correct. So we do halal at night, and we do halal again during the Seder. What is, if you've never noticed this about halal, you're about to get your mind blown away. Soloveitchik pointed this out. And if you never thought of it, it's a mind-blowing thing. Halal. Happy? Sad. Think about it. What do we say? Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chaso. Thank you, Hashem. Everything's so great. What's the next line? Min ha-meitzar karasi ka. I'm calling out to you from the depths of suffering. What do you mean? I thought Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chaso. I thought everything's great. How do we end the paragraph? Ze ha-yom asa Hashem. What do you mean? I thought min ha-meitzar karasi ka. Ze ha-yom asa Hashem. What a great day. And then what's the next line? Ona Hashem Oshiana, save me. What do you mean save you? You just said today's the greatest day. Everything's amazing. The Hallel itself is the exact same inner contradiction. Is Hallel happy or is Hallel sad? Is Matzah happy? Is Matzah sad? Is the Kittel Big Day Mason or is the Kittel clothing of the Beis HaMikdash? Is the egg Kineged the Avelos or is the egg Kineged the Karbanos? There's something going on here. What are all these stiras? What are all of these inner contradictions? And the answer is that to properly appreciate Geula, you have to also properly appreciate Golus. To appreciate Zeh Yom Asa Hashem Nagilu V'Nischavo, you have to also appreciate what it means to say Ana Hashem Oshiana. The Maharal writes that light is really only appreciated in the context of darkness. When you have darkness and then there's light, you appreciate the light. The Seder is about understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. The Maharal actually says that's why it's called the Seder. Because we're trying to internalize that there is a Seder. There is an order. There's a plan. There's a tahalich. There's a process. Hashem runs the world. And you know what? Sometimes there's darkness. And as dark as it feels, everybody knows the sun will eventually rise the next morning. And there's pain, and we have pain in our lives, and we know that there also is going to be bracha. And if you get so stuck in the pain, you sometimes forget that there's also a Zeh Yom Asa Hashem Nagilu V'Nischavo. And if you get too drunk on the Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov, you start to forget sometimes that you're not in control. And then Hashem has to throw you into Min HaMeitzar Karasika to remind you that Hashem's running the world, that you're not doing this on your own. And that's part of the Yesod of Pesach. The Yesod of Pesach is to recognize the Seder, to internalize the Emuna, that we know that as crazy as this roller coaster is, this world, there is somebody who's running the roller coaster. There's someone who's behind pulling the strings. And I want to end by sharing with you, to me, when I heard it many years ago, to me, it just captures the whole essence of the Seder. So I'd say it quickly in these 5 minutes. You know, everybody, many of us, I'm sure, are familiar. There's a famous word on a pasuk that we say, Tov lehodos l'Hashem, l'zamer l'shimcha elyon, and we say that, l'hagid baboker chastecha, v'emunos chabalelus. So the darshanim, everybody says, what does it mean, l'hagid baboker chastecha? When everything's clear, when it's boker, you can proclaim all the chesed that Hashem does. Everything's great. It's clear. It's light. It's bright. I see everything. I can say Hashem's chesed. But what about when it's dark? What about when you don't see clearly? You don't see the Yad Hashem? That's when you need emuna. Emunas chabalelos. You need the emuna at night. Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Zol Malach HaShemayim. The Kriya Shema is an interesting mitzvah because we have to do it at night and during the day. Why do we have to do it at night and during the day? Do it once a day. You know, you take lulav once during the day. You don't have to take lulav at night and during the day. Why do you do Kriya Shema at night and during the day? Maybe the reason is because to be mekabel olam hashamayim, to really accept Hashem as your king, you need to do it when it's good. You need to do it during the day. You need to do it when things are clear. You need to do it when you have clear signs and you could proclaim and you could say, yes, Hashem, you're my God. But you also have to be able to do it at night. You also have to be mekabel olam hashamayim at night when things aren't so clear, when things aren't going so well. And that's why after Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, what do we say? Emes v'yatziv. It's clear. It's firm. What do we say at night? Emes v'yamuna. I'm mekabel olam hashamayim, but I'm doing it from a place of amuna because I don't see it. I know it's true, but I don't see it. When Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva were all sitting in Bnei Brak and they were having the Seder. So there's a big kasha. Why were they having the Seder in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva lived in Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. He was the Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. The Talmud goes to the Rebbe. They should have been doing it in Lod, where Rabbi Eliezer lived. They should have done it by Rabbi Yeshua's house. Why did they all come to their Talmud? So you need to understand the context, historical context. What was going on at this time? This is one of the darkest periods of persecution of the Romans. Why did they come to Rabbi Akiva's house? Maybe because even though he was the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva had the unique ability to be able to see the light even in the darkness. He was the one who, even though it was darkness, he was able to say Emes V'yatziv. He was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the darkness. How do we know that? From the famous Gemara in the end of Makkos. All the other Tanoim saw the fox and they cried. And what did Rabbi Akiva do? He started to laugh. He started to see the Geula even in the darkness. Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe. Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. Rabbi Akiva was the master of seeing the light even in the darkness. And that's why they came to Rabbi Akiva's house, because it was at the height of persecution. And they said, Rabbi Akiva's our Rebbe when it comes to being able to see the Yatziv even in the time period of night when you normally need a Muna. And maybe, and we'll end with this, maybe that's the Amkus of the end of the story in the Haggadah. What happens? They were there, they were being misafir b'yitzias Mitzrayim, kol osa halayla. They were working on their Amunah. That's what the Pesach is, the Chag of Amunah. The Seder is there to instill within us that there's a Seder to the world. So what were they doing? They were sitting and they were working on their Amunah. And what did the Talmidim come and say? The Talmidim came and said, Rabboseinu, he gives man kriya shema shel shachris. You got there. You're in the middle of the night. You're holding by MSV Amunah. It's dark. You need your Amunah. Well, thanks to Rabbi Akiva, because you came to Rabbi Akiva, he got them l'kriya shema shel shachris. You reach that madrega of MS v'yatziv. You reach that madrega of clarity. So Hashem should help all of us that we see the differences. We can live with different forces in our life. We can live with pain and blessing at the same time. That's the nature of life. Hallel captures what life is all about. It's about Zayom Asa Hashem Nagil v'Nismichava, but realizing at the same time Ana Hashem Oshiyana. And when a person realizes that whether it's day, whether it's night, whether it's Emes V'Yatziv or it's Emes V'Yamunah, a person can see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal of the Seder. So Hashem should help all of us that we should reach that Madrega through being Mekayim Mitzvah Sikra Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we should be Zoicha Lechol Min Hazvachim U'Min Hapsachim. We should eat the Chagigas Yodalid, we should eat the Karban Pesach, and we should be Zoicha to the Shana Haba Yerushalayim HaBnuyah.